Every now and then there comes a year that's so amazing, so wonderful, so marvelous, that it changes everything. They call those kinds of years in Latin annus mirabilis, the year of wonders, the year of miracles, the awesome year. Will 2020 be that for you and for Resurrection Church? Will it be annus mirabilis? I think it can, and we're going to spend the next month looking at how it can be. But we're going to start by going back to the very first year to be named Annus Mirabilis, and that's the year 1666. That year, Isaac Newton was 23 years old, and he made more discoveries in that year than most people do in a lifetime. So what did he discover? He discovered calculus, the math that basically makes all of science and engineering possible. But not only that, he also made discoveries in optics. In fact, he discovered the color spectrum, that white light is actually made up of all the colors of the rainbow. And you've seen that in the prism. And so that he discovered that year. He discovered the three laws of motion, which if you had high school science, you probably had to learn, you know, an object that's rest stays at rest unless it's acted on by a force, or for every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction. He discovered those. And then his most famous discovery of all, discovery of the law of gravity, while he was sitting there under an apple tree. Now, unlike the popular image, the apple didn't hit him on the head, and it wasn't even a red apple like it is in so many pictures. It's actually a green apple. But be that as it may, in that one year, in 1666, one annus mirabilis, the world was forever changed by Newton's discoveries. Now here we are in about to start 2020, and it too can be an amazing, marvelous, wonderful year, an awesome year for each one of us and for this church. Not necessarily by the discoveries that we make in physics or in optics, but by the discovery that we make when we journey with God. A journey of discovery with God and a journey of discovery of God as we grow deeper and deeper in our relationship. This is the first Sunday in the new year, and we call it Epiphany Sunday. Technically, it's not Epiphany itself. Technically, it's the 12th day of Christmas. So if you have a true love, they should be giving you 12 drummers drumming. He's already taken, though. But this is the Sunday before Epiphany. Epiphany is tomorrow, January 6th. And Epiphany is the day in the church when the church celebrates the arrival of the wise men from afar. Now, In our Christmas cards and in our nativity scenes, we always lump it all together, right? We have the shepherds and the sheep and the angels, and the wise men are there too. But in reality, it took a while from when they saw the star to when they got to Jesus. They had to go on a journey, a long journey. And we're going to look at their journey and see how it might apply to our journey with God this year. How we might have a year of wonders like they had. So we're going to read the story in Matthew chapter 12, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. So it starts this way. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." I always wondered if I would have seen the star if I had been alive back then. And I can pretty much guarantee you the answer would be no. I mean, if there was a new star in the sky tonight, and I don't mean some blazing fireball like out of a movie, but just a new star up there, would you notice? Now, we wouldn't notice. because we're not looking for it. We're not looking for the stars in the sky. We might glance up there, but we're not paying attention. We're not paying attention to what's happening in the sky. But those magi, those wise people were. They were paying attention, and so they saw the star when most others did not. Isaac Newton said, "If I've ever made any valuable discoveries, it has been owing more to patient attention than to any other talent." Isaac Newton paid attention, and he made great discoveries. The Magi paid attention, and they discovered Jesus. And 2020, our Annus Mirabilis can be that if we pay attention. If we're curious, if we're open, if we open our eyes to see what God is doing around us, if we ask questions, if we search for what God is up to, then our 2020 can be awesome. Now note in what we just read there, for all of their attention and for all of their wisdom, they still show up in the wrong place. Where did they show up looking for Jesus? Did you catch it? Jerusalem, right? Not Bethlehem. See, they saw the star, and they believed the star signaled the birth of a new king. And so they followed in the direction of the star, and then they went to Jerusalem, and they said, "Where is the new king?" Now, why would you go to Jerusalem? Because it's the capital. It's where the old king lives, right? New kings come from old kings. And so they show up in Jerusalem saying, "Here we are, where's the new king?" And the present king, Herod, and the others are going, "What? What are you talking about?" So Herod assembles some people who knew a little bit more than he did about the birth of the Messiah. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written in the Bible. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." So by paying attention and by following the leading of God, they got going on their journey of discovery. But then, when they kind of got a little off track, then they turned to the Bible and to some other people for help. And I think the same goes for our journey of discovery of God. There's a lot we can do on our own, and it starts with paying attention to God, but then there's those times when we need the help of the Scripture, and we need the help of other people to guide us and to get us going in the right direction. There are times when we need to make a little course correction. Verse 7, "Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him.'" Now we find out a little bit later that Herod has no intention of worshiping Jesus. He wants to kill him. In fact, he kills all the children in Bethlehem just after Jesus leaves. But the wise men, they got help from the Bible. They even got help from evil King Herod, and they made a course correction. They had the same goal, the same destination of finding the newborn king. But now they've changed a little bit, and it's not Jerusalem. It's Bethlehem they go to. On our journey with God this year, we need to keep focused on the destination. But we may have to make a few little corrections along the way. Many of you know that I love to journey by canoe up in the Boundary Waters. And the interesting thing about canoes is canoes are designed that if you sit in the back and paddle, they will go in a circle and you will never get anywhere. because of the way that the canoe comes to a point in the back, if you just paddle straight on one side, your canoe is just going to go around in a nice big circle. And so there's a way to counteract that, to correct the course. And it's called the J stroke. So you paddle like you normally would, but then at the end, you make a little turn, a little hook, a little J. And that counteracts the tendency of the canoe to go off course. And if you keep your eye focused on your destination and you make those little course corrections as you go along with the J stroke, then you can go and get to where you want to go. So that's a little bit like what the wise men did. With the help of the Bible and others, they made a little course correction. You know, Bethlehem is only about 6 miles from Jerusalem. After all that journey, they were just 6 miles off. But what a difference it made. In Jerusalem, they found old murderous King Herod. But in Bethlehem, they found Jesus. Sometimes we have to make those little course corrections to get where we want to go. Verse 9. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they'd seen when it arose went ahead of them till it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. The Magi's journey ends in discovery of Jesus. It ends with them overjoyed and worshiping. It ends with them having an annus mirabilis, an awesome year. Back last fall, I handed out cards for people to give sermon suggestions, what they'd like me to preach on. And one of the requests was road tripping with God. Now, I don't know exactly what the person meant by road tripping with God, but I can tell you that road tripping with God looks an awful lot like the road trip that the Magi went on. It starts when we pay attention. It starts when we look for God and how God is at work, and when we hear God's nudging to get on the journey. And then it's aided with the help of the Bible and with other people. And along the way, we may require a little course correction. But if we keep our eyes on the destination, we too will be overjoyed and we will meet Jesus. Throughout this past year, there have been people working here in the church, the Unstuck group and other leaders and such, trying to discern the journey for the church into 2020. And we have looked at scriptures, we've looked at, studied all sorts of other things, and now we're going to make a little course correction. Starting in February, we're going to change our worship times. And what we're going to do is that the 9:15 and the 10:30 service are going to come together at 10 o'clock. It is great when we have a room half full like this. It's even better when the room is completely full. And with our Sunday school, they'll also come together. And so the kids have more kids, because the more the merrier. It also makes better use of our volunteers. And it'll also give us some greater flexibility. We're going to move the early service, so it's a little bit later, to 8:30. Because right now it's pretty much barely sunrise at this time of year, and people trying to get in, it's a little difficult. So we're going to move that service a little bit. But we're also going to allow a little more time between the services so we can have some more flexibility in the service. So we can have more special music, so we can have the kids involved more. And even so that we don't have to cut some things out when we have a baptism or something. Because right now, with the way our services are so close together, we wind up having to cut something out in order to even do something as simple as a baptism. So we're going to make those changes. It's going to start in February. It's really not huge, and it's not the be-all and end-all. It's just the next step in the journey. a little course correction, and of course there'll be many other things that we do in the coming year as we learn from one another and from God and from the Scriptures. We will have nursery at both of the services, in case you're wondering about that. Well, the Magi, they reach their destination, they've encountered Jesus, and then verse 12 says, "And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." Now, we don't know exactly what that dream was. We don't even know if they realized that it was God who's giving that dream to them. They might have just had that dream and they said, well, let's go back another way. So I want to switch gears just a little bit and look at another dream in the Bible, a dream where we know it's of God and the person knew it was of God. And that is the story that we call Jacob's Ladder. And it's in the 20th chapter of Genesis, and the setup is this. Jacob has kind of tricked his brother Esau out of his blessing, which was an important thing to him. And Esau is so mad that he threatens to kill his brother. Mom gets wind of this, and she says to Jacob, "Jacob, you need to leave the country. You need to go to your uncle's and just hang out there until Esau can cool down. Because otherwise, I'm going to lose my sons because you're going to kill each other." And so Jacob, fearing for his life, leaves. And this is where we pick it up in verse 10, chapter 28. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. And when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land in which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you'll be spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he'd placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel, which means house of God, by the way, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I've set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth." Jacob's journey starts not with seeing a star and the excitement about a new king. Jacob's journey starts with worry, fearing for his life. But it too ends with him meeting God in an awesome place. Now, as we go into 2020, we all can drop a list of worries. There's the situation with Iran. There is the elections. There is the environment. There's our own health. There's safety. There's even the church. We have a lot of things to worry about. And maybe we even worry about the journey itself. I have to admit that I am one who has traveling anxieties. I keep thinking about all the stuff that could go wrong on a trip, and I try to be prepared for it. Maybe it's the old Boy Scout thing, but what it does is it leaves me with a lot of anxiety. And ask Tammy, I'm not the greatest person. When I'm getting ready for a Boundary Waters trip, Tammy says, "I think I just need to leave. I'll see you in a couple of days and get ready." Even when we go down to North Carolina, often I have driven and she has flown. And She says it's because of her back, but I also suspect it's because she doesn't want to be with me as I'm getting ready for the trip, packing the car and all that kind of stuff. I have that kind of a traveling anxiety, and maybe you do, about going on new ventures. But when I get going, I always love it. Because I see new places, and I meet new people, and I eat new foods, and if I'm traveling with someone, I develop a deeper relationship with them. And so all of those worries really come to nothing. Now, as we go into 2020, we can have a journey of worries, or we can have a journey of discovery. Discovery with God, discovery of God. And I can't tell you how the election's going to turn out or any of that other stuff, but I can make you this one promise, that the promise to Jacob is for you as well. God says, I'm with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go. And so make 2020 a journey of discovery of God and with God. Pay attention. Get help from the Bible and from others. Keep your eye on the destination and make the course corrections as needed. But above all, trust in the promise. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And 2020 truly can be an annus mirabilis, an awesome year. Let us pray. God, some of us that just are so excited about the new year, we can hardly stand it. And others of us have our long list of worries. But however we start this year, Lord, may it be a journey of discovery. May we discover you, and may we discover all the things that you intend for us. The joys, the blessings, the learnings. God, may this truly be an annus mirabilis, because you are with us. Amen.